Welcome to Dare, Share, Create the podcast. Conversations, concepts, and insights from people who have dared to go after their dreams, who share their gifts with the world, and who create the life that they want. I'm your host, Elizabeth Valentine, a voiceover artist, singer, speaker, and coach. This podcast aims to free you from whatever's holding you back, spark transformation, and is designed to give you the courage, inspiration, permission, and tools to live your best, most inspired, and fulfilled life so you can make the biggest positive impact in the world. Now, on to today's conversation. So, hello, and welcome to this new episode of Dare, Share, Create the podcast with me, Elizabeth Valentine. Today, I have got a really exciting guest for you for the second season. It is Elroy Spoonface Powell, or as we know him as Spoon, the voice guy. He is an and you're going to see why he's known as Spoon, the voice guy, because his voice is literally like enveloping you into a warm hug. It is just phenomenal. So he is an author, he is an actor, he's a voiceover artist and a media consultant. He started actually in the music industry, which led him to write a book to really help emerging talents with ideas about how to create a really sustainable career. It's called How to Think Beyond a Chart Position. He also had a UK number one hit with Black Legend with the cover of Barry White's classic, You See the Trouble in Me. Not only was it a UK number one hit, it also sold several million copies worldwide. So this guy really has something special in his voice. He's worked with amazing people like Decline, Danny Bird, High Contrast, Omar, Janet Kay, Khalees, Craig David, and is running a voiceover agency called SpoonsVoices.com, where he sources voices for really amazing brands. As I said, he's also an actor. I mean, you may have seen him in the film with Stephen Merchant and Dwayne Johnson called Fighting With My Family. And he's been in Star Wars, The Force Awakens. He's just been in the Netflix Christmas hit Jingle Jangle. So this guy has got so much going on. And one of the recent things and how I know Spoon is through the voiceover industry. He's just released a book called Voice Over Secrets that I am very proud to be a part of. Expert tips from 22 voiceover artists that cuts through all the jargon and tells you how you can make a career in the voiceover industry. Because really, we want to hear from the experts. We want to hear from the people who have done it and who share their gifts with the world. So that was also why I wanted to invite Spoon on here, because he's someone who not only obviously has dared to go after his dreams and has created the life that he wants, but he really shares his gifts. And one of the things I love about him is that he is dedicated to helping people in his coaching groups, in his Facebook community. He runs something called Success Tips, and he helps new talents in the music industry. And, you know, with our book, a percentage of it is going to a charity called Magic Breakfast that provides healthy breakfast to kids who would otherwise be too hungry to learn. So anyway, that was a whole big spiel about our amazing guest for today. So Spoon, welcome.
Thank you so much. What an amazing introduction. Thank you so much. And yes, if I was there right now, I would give you a warm hug. And so my voice will just have to do for now, I guess.
Absolutely.
But yeah, this is great. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. Just happy that spring is on its way and we get to have this beautiful conversation, even though we are not in the same room, but I feel the warm hug. And yeah, so tell me, how have you, because one of the things I admire about you, Spoon, is that, as we've just heard, you've got all these things going for you, all this creativity in different areas. How do you manage to keep that momentum?
That's such a great question. And a lot of it was really born from just trying to stay afloat and find sustainability, but not just that, but to also find some sense of peace and enjoyment from what I've been doing. And I'm one of them people that I go to bed at night where I try to, and then all of these thoughts just hit me about things I could run off and do, and I just want to create and create. And so it does take a lot of, right, calm down. Okay, what's a let's make a list. Let's prioritize. Why are you doing it? Let's connect with your purpose here and figure out, you know, how it all makes sense long term. So yeah, a lot of that has been about just stopping, just taking a little time every day to become aware and figure out what really serves me and really makes sense.
Yeah, I love that. Stopping up, especially when you are trying to do all these things, but you have to just go, okay, what is the important thing here? Because sometimes you can get caught up in the hamster wheel, especially when we are working for ourselves. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to have to say yes to everything because when is the next paycheck going to come in? So I love that you just take that pause and check in with yourself, I guess, about what is in alignment with you and your purpose and your values, and what isn't.
Absolutely, and staying open to how that changes with time, you know, because as you start to hit different milestones and as you start to learn from your experiences, you start to adapt and become flexible and look at where else you can sort of move things to and what you can let go of. So there's been a lot of letting go over the years, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I know that that's something I've had to do with how, you know, when I was in my very early 20s, I wanted to be a pop star. And you can sometimes hold on to those dreams, but it's about going, okay, that was for then. I had a bit of pop star life. But then you move on, and as you grow and develop, other things become, I suppose, more nurturing to you or just more in alignment. And I think one of the pitfalls is when you hold on to an old dream because you feel like, but that was what I wanted, so that should still be what I want. And if I let it go, then I'm a failure.
Absolutely. You know, so our brains are hardwired for survival. So they're all about keeping us safe and doing things like stopping us from losing face, because then maybe that's going to have an impact. And when you're an artist, especially, we're very much trying to do stuff that relies upon an external opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get caught in that cycle of pleasing people. And even if you're not a people pleaser, if you're making a song to get into a chart, you're relying on someone to say, "Oh, that song was good enough for me to acknowledge it." And so
Yeah.
you have to keep making time to tell yourself that I acknowledge myself and that I accept myself, and then create your own idea of what success is. And it's so interesting you say what you said about this whole thing of I wanted to be a pop star at a certain point, and I was a pop star at a certain point, and then it evolved into music publishing and so on. But at that time, where I had to have that conversation with myself, it
Yeah.
was tough. Like, oh my gosh, like everyone's expecting me to go off and make an album, do a world tour, and have another 10 more number one singles. Otherwise, this one isn't valid, and nothing else in my career matters unless I do all these other stuff. But again, that's all stuff we're making up in our own brains.
Yeah.
None of this is real. This is our brain trying to keep us safe, trying to do what it thinks you need to do to survive.
Yeah.
And so when I was able to let go of all of that, and say, you know, like celebrate the milestones, celebrate what you have achieved, be
Yeah.
thankful, be grateful, and then look at some new places to go and enjoy and explore and new ways to share and uplift and feel how enriching that can be. So yeah, I totally hear you.
Yeah, definitely. And there's always that sort of second album fear, or the second book, or the second even single, where it's like, oh my God, I've had all this success, and now everyone is looking to me to replicate it. And we also know what the media is saying. It's like, oh, they're one hit wonder. And they put all of that pressure on you. So I think especially in any creative industry where you do rely, as you say, on some validation of others, because if no one likes what you do, then you're not going to have a career, of course. But taking the step back and acknowledging yourself and being okay with living up to your own standards, that's something I heard years ago about going, okay, well, these are my standards. this is how I want to be prepared. These are the parameters for me to say that's a successful performance, that's a successful, you know, business deal, that's a successful interaction, whatever it might be. And then when you have lived up to your standard, you can pat yourself on the back and go, okay, I'm happy now. Anything else is a bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I feel that it's hard to, when, like you said, when you get caught up in that race and that whole energy, it's hard to put the brakes on and at times to acknowledge all of those things. So it's great to create a little toolbox that allows you to do that and to recognize when it's time to do that. And, you know, this is why it's been great to work with yourself and include your contribution in the book, because I love where you're coming from with your experiences. And again, equally just so open to giving. And yeah, you start to recognize actually that when you can find that balance with giving, it really helps with your own development and your own contribution and understanding of the world. And that's so important when you're trying to get a sense of peace. Because ultimately, when we're doing these things, we're either looking for financial freedom or we want to be loved or build a community. And that's at the heart of it most of the time. And so if you're really honest about what you need to do to create that for yourself, hopefully you'll sort of inch in those directions a bit easier.
Yeah, I love that. Because giving, I mean, the second value of this podcast is share your gifts with the world, which is about giving, not necessarily giving for free. Share your gifts and let it be of value to the world. And one of the things that I know that you do, both with your first book, which was about helping emerging talent in the music industry find a way to have a sustainable career, also in the voiceover book, but also in the coaching and the mentoring that you do, it is about helping other people, I feel, monetize their gifts or just live a life that is more about sharing so that you get that. I've gone out on a weird tangent.
But you haven't gone off on a tangent at all, and I'll tell you why, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because the thing about giving, sometimes there's so much weird energy around what giving is. And some people have ulterior motives and some people just want to be seen to be really cool and all this kind of stuff. Some people don't like anyone to know because of personal and religious beliefs and so on. But ultimately, I kind of like to keep it simple. Mm. If you take and you take and you take, you're going to deplete your resources.
Yeah.
So we have to find a way to find balance and replenish and give so we don't deplete. Basic for me. The other thing is that anything that I've been able to achieve, of course, I've had to step up and turn up and give. Equally, people gave me an opportunity. People let me in the door. People encouraged me. People just shared with me. And so for me, it feels right. If we're trying to create sustainability, if we're trying to make this work long term, we have to find ways to give in a way that doesn't deplete us so that we create a win-win situation so that everything is buoyant in all these different places. So this is what I felt when you were sharing just then.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, I'm not going to edit it out because it is true. I think you hit the nail on the head. And also, if we just throw it out even wider, I mean, we can't keep, you know, on our planet, we can't keep just taking and taking and depleting and depleting. We have to give back, and whether that is to give back to plant more habitat for bees, if it is giving back by changing our diet, because I know that you're big on health and wellness as well, if it is about just, yeah, how we interact, it can't be so ego, I want more, 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 more. I think that is very dangerous.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. But, you know, sometimes everyone has to get to that place of their own accord.
Yeah.
And ultimately, some people may never. And that's just what it is. But it, when we can collectively, and I feel there has been a real big shift in that direction of more consideration for each other and the planet, and especially during lockdown, you know, people got to realize the importance of those people that are often overlooked. The nurses, the dustbin men and women, and, you know, the people that do all the stuff that we just take for granted often. Suddenly we start to realize, wow, this is so important. Just to go out and see someone in the park, that's so important. You know, all of these things. And I hope that moving forward, we can hold on to what we've learned from these experiences and pass it forward. Because then think of the amazing place we'll be consciously and in terms of our planet and so on, if we can keep this movement going. And of course, it's going to take a few generations potentially, but it starts somewhere, and we have to keep it moving. And it starts with a little thing. Sometimes it can feel so overwhelming, right?
Absolutely.
What can I do? There's so much going on. I can't, you know. Yes, you can. It starts with the little things from your home, from the inside of you, in terms of how you think and how you approach life and how you think and treat others and so on. And, you know, we're human. You know, no one's perfect. And, you know, it's not about judging anyone in that sense. We're going to make mistakes. Yeah. And, you know, no one's a saint or an angel out here. You know what I mean? Everyone has their own journey about moving forward in that sense. And it's important to recognize your shadow. I don't know if I don't know if I'm now going off on a tangent, but I'm happy.
No, I love it.
See, like I a lot of the time we get caught up, like, okay, so the press, we were talking about also how one hit wonder, and sometimes the industry has a way of actually tearing people down that do work, that have been doing well, and especially in the UK press, we've seen it a lot. And you know, you have so many people that don't recognize the pressures of musicians and creatives and artists under so much stress and anxiety. It's often turning to self-medication, committing suicide and all sorts. And there's so many statistics and so on. You can go and research for yourself to find out for those listening. But ultimately, it's okay to embrace your shadow. It's okay to be honest about those sides of you that you would not normally share with the world because you're worried they're going to look at you differently. Yeah. And the point is, we're not talking about running and raving and shouting about it because you have to prove it. What I'm talking about is that analysis of yourself. If you're saying that you want to move from a particular place and get to another, if you want to experience some kind of betterment, you want to advance, you want to grow, stop and acknowledge why you're behaving the way you behave, why you feel angry, why you feel jealous, why you feel insecure, why you feel rage around certain things, and address it and rewire it. You know, and see how you can then move forward from there. That's the only way for many of us. So, I think it's important to just embrace all of ourselves and be open and honest about it in order for us to move forward collectively also, because if we're not addressing those things individually from the inside out, how can we do that?
Yeah, for sure. And it's so interesting because, of course, we don't want to share the shadows of ourselves, because ultimately, then we're afraid that, oh my God, then they're not going to like me or love me. I'm going to be rejected.
Absolutely.
And I think that is fundamentally the deepest, most primal fear, isn't it? Is being rejected from the tribe. Because back in the day, then you would die.
Yeah.
You didn't have your community around you. And I think because we have become so insular, it is just, well, I don't need anyone else. But we do. We Absolutely. Do need everyone, and there has been such a emphasis on, hey, we are showering the rich and the powerful and the famous with all the worth, in a way. We're placing all the worth on those very materialistic things, whereas actually everyone has worth, and we need everybody to play their part, because if you're building a house, well, it's not going to be any good if when you look at it, oh wow, look at the spire on that house or whatever. It's like, wow, that looks amazing. But actually, if the foundation isn't there, or if the plumbing wasn't right, or if the whatever, we need all the bits to make it work. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that we now go, okay, hey, I really appreciate that actually someone is in Aldi at 6 in the morning so I can do the shopping. You know, I really appreciate that someone comes and collects the rubbish because it is important.
100%.
And when I'm wondering what you think about this, I saw an article the other day, or just I saw the headline, which was the number one unimportant job or non-essential job, 76% artists. And of course, as a creative, I was a little bit outraged and I thought, okay, so in this lockdown, not saying that, I mean, all, obviously the essential services and the frontline staff and the medical teams and all of that, that is essential. But for people's, you know, well-being and for people's, hey, keep us sane, what would lockdown have been without Netflix, Spotify, YouTube, all these things that are people who are creating and sharing? And I know that there's a monetary, hopefully for a lot of people, but there's also been a lot of people who's like, well, we just want to take and not pay you for it because it's your hobby, which is another thing. But it's interesting how we place value on things because we need the arts.
Yeah, again, I feel like with everything, it's about balance. And this is a question that comes up for me so much with clients and other artists that I work with. And I sort of honestly say to them, I get it. You know, you want to be, there's a culture of people expecting you to do stuff for free, especially in the music industry. And it's normalized by all the mainstream companies in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I get it. People moan about platforms like Spotify, you know, not enough of the money goes to the artists and the major labels and so on, our shareholders, so they benefit more and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. But I roll it back to this. Ultimately, if you have something that people want, they will get it. You know, if you have something that is of value and they need it, it doesn't matter. They'll find a way to get it. Yeah. So you have to ask yourself, what am I doing as a musician, as a creative? What am I doing that's really of value? And who are those people that it's of value to, and find them and service them. And I try and put it like that because sometimes I feel some musicians have a sense of entitlement. Just being honest. I'm a great singer. I'm a great artist. I should be, who says you deserve anything? What difference on the planet is what you're doing really making compared with, you know, because when it comes to crunch time, and we do this ourselves. When you have a bill to pay, if you have to feed family, what are you going to do? Are you going to pay for a concert or are you going to go to the nearest Tesco or supermarket and buy some food? It comes down to what you really need to survive and everything else comes afterwards. So if you can position yourself so that your music and your endeavors become like food, become like something that people need to survive, then maybe you're onto something.
Yes, of course. I mean, of course, the basic, it's that Maslow's hierarchy
pyramid. Of needs, right?
Yeah, of needs. And of course, roof over your head, food, water, warmth, shelter, all of those things are, of course, the essential. I guess we are still living in a very privileged country or part of the world where I'm just like, but arts are essential to us. But you're right. Like, it is a balance. It is a balance. I want to go back to the creating. That's something I know that I've struggled with. And it seems like from the outside, which may not be the truth, but you touched on it earlier as well. You are creating so much, and I see what you do, and you're really active on Clubhouse, you're active on all the social medias. You seem to just be creating, creating, creating. And that's something that I've struggled with, that I feel like I've been consuming much more than I've been creating. And I'm wondering what advice do you have to how to really just kick up the creativity and your output instead of getting caught in the consuming kind of state?
Well, this is a great question. Let's deep dive. Let's explore it. Why do you feel there's a challenge with the creative side to things for you?
I mean, for me, I think I have a perfectionist. I'm recovering perfectionist. It's something I'm working on for various reasons. I think, you know, in my formative years, when I wasn't perfect, I was punished. Not by my parents or anything, not corporately, but there was a, oh, if it's not good enough, then either in your behavior as a person or the things that you're putting out. So I think that is one of my things. And I go, oh, but is it quite good enough? And ooh. So if I don't do it straight away, then I will definitely get locked in the analysis paralysis. And then I just won't do it because then I'll be like, oh, but is it, should I put out this post? Will people get it? Oh, maybe will it offend someone? Blah, 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 blah. You know, and then the thought train just goes. And then you end up just not having actually produced anything that is going to be a value to someone. And maybe if it's only a value to one person, that's what my sort of logical side says. I'm like, but that's good. That's enough. But there is some sort of a conflict.
Yeah, I hear you. And it's as we've been saying, it's so normal. It's so natural because, again, it comes down to that external validation and the fear of being, you know, isolated from the tribe with what we create. I just decided to, I don't care anymore. It's like, I don't care. I'm going to come out and do whatever. If I'm going to stand naked or in front of something because it feels right and it makes sense for me to do it, I'm going to do it. If I turn down work all the time, people come to me asking for me to do projects and I say no, because I don't care about the money and what it is. Does it align with who I am? And and so in terms of being creative, I literally have to sit down and check in regularly about what it is that I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And beyond the purpose, how is it really making a difference in the lives of people? And once I start to connect the dots with my passions and how it serves, the creativity constantly flows. So For one example, during lockdown, I started a group called Ready for Dreams, which is around mindfulness and encouraging people to create their own way through stress and anxiety and so on. And it all started, thank you, it all started with just reading bedtime stories. And so I'm every Friday for a while reading bedtime stories to adults over Zoom. And then they say, look, we really enjoy this. This is really just helping us to connect with a time when we were younger, when we did, when we had this experience. And some people are saying, I always wanted this when I was a child and I never had it. And you've created this space and it's you know, really done something for me inside. And so that was really special. So I thought, okay, I'm able to use my voice to do something for others in this way. And then it grew from there. I then started to do a similar thing for a charity in Singapore called Blessings in a Bag. And then I started to create affirmations. And affirmations were about speaking positively, right? Mm. Really connecting with our subconscious so that we start to manifest in a positive way. So again, using my voice, make affirmations. And they're on Insight Timer. And again, people are benefiting there. And this is just one area of what I do, but it allows me to have fun being creative because I'm writing all these new affirmations. I'm writing stories and figuring out ways to put them together, throwing in music underneath the affirmations, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, and then you get the same thing of, you get a little external indication of how it's working, which helps you, which helps inform your decisions going forward a little too. So you get all of that feedback and all that energy that we all need and benefit from.
Yeah.
But initially it comes from a place of, what do I want to do? Why am I doing it? How can I have fun doing it?
Yeah. And can I just say, like, I want you to read me bedtime stories. I'm sure all our listeners would want that too, because what a great way to just fall asleep. And it is about that nurturing and us finding, especially if we didn't get certain things. I work a lot on healing the inner child.
Yes.
Which is important when there are things that come up for us as adults that is a remnant from something that happened when we were small. And we can't go back in time, but we can heal it now and be the adult who talks to our inner little person and goes, hey, I'm here for you. I will give you what you need so that it doesn't hinder you from doing what it is you want to do now. And for those people to go, oh my God, I never got that as a child. I'm going to give that to me now. How amazing.
That's beautiful. And so much stems from when we were children, right? That we don't even realize.
Oh my God, yeah, pretty much everything. So I love that. I love that about really checking in with what it is you are passionate about, what your purpose is, and how it's going to serve in the greater world.
Yes, and giving yourself permission to do it, and giving yourself permission to really celebrate yourself in there as well.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes people don't feel they're worthy from past experiences or feel like they can't acknowledge, especially in the UK, we have this real kind of self-deprecating humor and so on. Like, it's okay to say that you're good at something. There's a difference between being confident and being a knobhead, you know what I mean? Being an idiot.
Sure.
So, like, just really own it. If voice is what you have and you can be creative and fun with it, then own it and enjoy it and see how you can uplift and inspire and share and have fun with that.
Yeah, for sure. And that was one of the stories I shared in the book Voiceover Secrets, because I think ultimately you have to just go, okay, if it is hard to acknowledge what you're good at, and I think a lot of us are so afraid of being seen as being arrogant or bragging or being that person that we've all met and you go, oh God, they're just too much. But ultimately we have to connect with our success and with the value we have to give. And whether that is, you know, as a voiceover artist, whether it's a musician, whether it's you as a parent, whether it is you in your job, wherever it is, really just taking a step back and looking at the evidence. Looking at the evidence and going, okay, you know what? When I did that, whatever it might be, that happened. I see the evidence that I have something to offer that is valuable because I get clients and they rebook me. And then that happened and that happened and that happened. So it's really just about connecting with the facts of, hey, I am here and this is what I'm offering. And it's not about going, oh, hey, Ash, I'm so good. Oh, I'm just so great. You know, it's not about tooting your own horn like that, but it is about sitting in the knowing that you have something valuable to offer.
Yeah. And, you know, again, this might sound like, you know, I'm sort of going back a bit, but you have to find your own style. So maybe bragging works for you, but be prepared for the backlash. Be prepared. As soon as you take a dive, people are going to let you know.
Yeah, definitely. So, Belvoir, I always ask my guests, what are three pieces of advice that you would give either your younger self, or if a young loved one came and asked you, hey, what is the secrets to a great life, an extraordinary life, success, whatever it might be, happiness?
Goodness me. You're looking for the secrets of the universe.
I am, yes. I want it all.
This is a great question. I would tell my younger self to take more time to connect with myself.
To be
even more confident about letting go of the stuff that you don't need. Friends, relationships, people, material things. There's probably more than three now. To breathe, to be patient. It's okay. It's going to happen. To be not so hard on yourself. You know, don't beat yourself up as much because you set these high goals that you want to achieve and so on. To keep learning, to keep developing skills that feed you and nurture you from the inside out. And to be patient, definitely to be patient. And then keep enjoying it, keep having fun. You know, sometimes in life things happen and you lose your sense of humor. You know, things happen like, oh, it's time to get serious. And I think if you can find, there's some people that are great at just finding a way to smile through everything. even though they're in pain, and that just helps with finding that sense of peace around things, right?
Yeah. What is the saying? If you're not laughing, you're crying.
Yeah.
Sometimes crying is good too, but sometimes you just gotta go, oh, okay, shit happens.
Hey, tears are the healing juice of the soul. It's great to cry and let it out, you know.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, especially in our culture, society-wise, we don't expect men to be comfortable with crying. I think you've been
Yeah.
seeing it a bit more, but it's okay to cry. It's emotion that would
Yeah.
otherwise be stuck and causing pain from the inside, breaking you up from the inside. So, yeah.
Definitely.
A combination of tears and laughter, or laughing until you cry.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I think it is really important that, especially for men, I think it's tough. I think it's tough. I mean, I think it's tough being a woman. I think it's tough being a man. But it's very important that we let men know that it's okay to cry and it's okay to show emotion because, yeah, okay, our brains are different. Men and women are different. But we all have feelings, we all have emotions, and it's not like females only have this type of emotions and men only have that type of emotions. We're all human beings ultimately. And thank you for just giving the permission for the male listeners out there that, hey, it's okay to cry.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like read the situation. I'm talking about in your private
Yeah.
moments where you're overwhelmed and so on, and you know, like, oh, I'm not gonna cry, I'm not gonna. No, it's okay. Acknowledge it, let it out, breathe, process it, allow yourself to heal, give yourself permission to heal. That healing for me, I had to do a lot of that, jaded by a lot of things in my life, from relationships with family and so on, and romantic situations. And it was only when I was able to let go of a lot of the pain and the energy around that, and be open to it and heal from it, that I was able to then be able to receive new opportunities and new love and new greatness, you know. And you have to empty your cup of all of that in order to fill it again.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, so much. I've been on a big healing journey as well. Because it just all that old pain and hurt, I think it's a great teacher for one thing, but there also comes a point when it's like, okay, I'm learning my lessons, but now it's time to just let it go.
Yeah, enough of the lessons now. Okay, we've
Enough
learned
of the
enough now.
lessons. I mean, I always say the negative things are the greatest lessons because
Yeah.
it propels us, it forces us to grow. But I remember a friend said, he was like, oh, I've stopped asking for growth and lessons right now because it comes with so much drama. Now I'm just asking for, peace and contentment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I think it was it. A couple of years ago, I was like, okay, thank you. I'm really happy I've learned and grown. Now, can I just have some peace for a little bit? No more lessons, thank you. But things don't always work like that either. Yeah, thank you so much. I was wondering, do you want to give us a couple of affirmations for our
Oh,
lovely
wow.
listeners to finish off this episode?
Wow, thank you so much for asking. I'd love to. And for me, affirmations have been great as part of a rounded practice of mindfulness. And there's a book I read called Miracle Morning, Hal Elrod.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yes, and it has he talks about silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing, and so on. And what I found is affirmations really help me figure out what I want to manifest in my life, what I want to make become a tangible reality.
Yeah.
And just speaking and sharing them as if you have them already has been really powerful. So I'll happily share.
Yeah, thank you. That would be amazing. I'm going to close my eyes and just listen to your beautiful voice.
Sure. Whilst you're listening, take a moment to be comfortable. Take off any clothing you don't need, or add clothing. Open a window, have a sip of a drink. Be comfortable, and recognize ability to be comfortable and create this for yourself. Give yourself permission. I love and I am loved. I love and I am loved. I love and I am loved. I am worthy of the love I receive. I am worthy of the love I receive. I forgive myself. I forgive myself. I forgive myself. Forgiveness sets me free. Forgiveness sets me free. I heal from my past and grow stronger every day. I heal from my past and grow stronger every day. I embrace my tears as healing fuel for my soul. I embrace my tears as healing fuel for my soul. I lift my inner child with love and forgiveness. I lift my inner child with love and forgiveness. I embrace the lessons of my shadow and expand into my greatness. I embrace the lessons of my shadow and expand into my greatness. I am grateful for the love that surrounds me. I am grateful for the love that surrounds me. I own my actions and flourish. I own my actions and flourish. My growth and vitality is limitless. My growth and vitality is limitless. I am open to receive with abundance. I am open to receive with abundance. And our last one, I let go of guilt and rise into the abundant glow of my prosperity. I let go of guilt and rise into the abundant glow of my prosperity.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. That was really special. Ah, oh, I can't wait to listen back to that.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
I mean, that just shows how generous you are. And I know that all the listeners are going to love it. Ah, oh, I'm like in a state of now. Thank you. So,
yes.
Tell us where people can find you. If you are an insight timer, by the way, Elroy's affirmations have got 5-star reviews. They've been featured on the front page, so go and check that out. Where else can people find you if they want to connect with you?
You can find me on Instagram. I'm very responsive there. I love it. Spoonface1. Yeah. And if it helps you and you're interested in getting involved in the voice acting industry, the success tips, we have an equipment list there for free. thesuccesstips.com. You can check that out. Oh, actually, a real easy one. If you're following me on Clubhouse, just type spoon.house in your browser, spoon.house, and it will take you straight to some of the opportunities we're making available for voice actors. And outside of that, I'll be there on Clubhouse. Same as usual, Spoonface1, and let's have some fun.
Perfect. Thank you so much. We're also going to put all Spoon's details in the show notes below, so just click them and then you can go straight and find him and connect. I mean, we've only touched on a teeny bit of your story and everything, and we didn't set out any sort of parameters for this conversation, so we've been a little round and about, but thank you so much for sharing. And guys, till next time, keep daring, keep sharing, and keep creating.